On August 1st, Texas-based Kinder Morgan purchased TerrAscend Gas. TerrAscend was once publicly owned as the gas division of BC Hydro. The social credit government privatized the company in the 1980s with provisions to maintain Canadian majority ownership and a BC head office. The company became BC Gas Incorporated. But then in 2003, Gordon Campbell's Liberals removed this foreign ownership provision, and BC Gas became TerrAscend Incorporated. The Council of Canadians fears that our federal and provincial governments are increasingly losing control of our energy resources. Guy Caron is with the Ottawa office of the Council of Canadians. He joins me by phone. Good morning, Guy.
Good morning.
So how much foreign control is there of Canada's energy resources?
Well, at this point, it's actually rather hard to keep count. In the past couple of weeks, we've heard of TerrAscend being sold to Kinder Morgan, but there's also been Petrokazakhstan very recently being sold to a Chinese state-owned company. Even in recent past, from a few years ago, obviously in British Columbia, you had the episode where West Coast Energy has been bought by Duke Energy, a U.S. firm. We can look at other companies which have been bought, like Husky Oil, which now belongs to a Hong Kong millionaire. So more and more we are losing these companies. We are losing control over over the companies that are either extracting, producing, refining, transporting oil and gas. And this is of serious concern to us, because if we want eventually to use these resources to ensure, for example, a transition to an alternative energy-based economy. Right now, we are fully dependent on oil and gas, but eventually, we'll have to move as those resources will become more scarce. We'll just be in the impossibility of ensuring a smooth transition, because all these resources will actually belong to somebody else.
How do trade agreements like NAFTA affect the control of energy resources?
Well, it affects it very strongly, obviously. Some people have been talking of linking energy to the softwood lumber crisis, with the U.S. not respecting the decision made by the NAFTA Supreme Court of Appeal. And people have said maybe we should be taxing, or maybe we should be holding back our oil and gas. That would be in breach of NAFTA, and you can make sure that there would be very severe repercussions, because the United States are taking Canadian resources for granted. When NAFTA was signed, Canada decided to entirely give away its energy. And there's one specific clause in Chapter 6 of NAFTA, which is called proportional sharing. And what this proportional sharing clause does is to ensure that the amount of oil and gas that Canada is producing and exported to the U.S. cannot decrease in terms of proportion. So let's say when NAFTA was signed, we were exporting 35% of our natural gas, and production is increasing, but exports to the U.S. are increasing at an even faster rate. We cannot decrease that rate. Right now, we are exporting close to 60% of the natural gas that we're producing, meaning that in the future, we cannot be exporting less than 60% of what we're producing, even though that production might decrease. So that means that for Canadian purposes, Canadians, citizens cannot use more than 40% of what we're producing. If production decreases in half, let's say because we are depleting our reserves, then the exports in the U.S. will be cut by half, but our own consumption will also decrease by half. So in effect, NAFTA has made us lose our control over our own energy, which Mexico, interestingly enough, was not subject to, because the Mexican government, through NAFTA, refused to give up its sovereign claim to its own energy. And Mexico has an exemption, which Canada doesn't have, meaning that Mexico is not subject to the same type of restriction.
you mentioned is that the U.S. disregards NAFTA when it's in its best interest, for example, with respect to softwood lumber. Do you think the Canadian government would ignore the energy export conditions of NAFTA under certain circumstances?
Well, I don't think that the Canadian government has the will nor the intention of doing so, simply because the oil and gas is too important for the U.S. to actually just ignore. They won't let us, by whichever means, they won't let us actually cut the supply, because they are relying on the supply, and it would mean an economic crisis for both Canada and the U.S. However, there is another way that Canada could be retaliating on the energy front that doesn't include cutting supply or taxing, imposing an export tax, and that would be through the regulatory process. Right now, for example, the TerraSun purchase will go through at least two regulatory processes to confirm the deal. The first one being a review of the deal done through the British Columbia Utilities Commission, and that will be happening actually on September 9th. And what this means is that the British Columbia Utilities Commission will have to look at the impact of this transaction, at this takeover, and the impact it will have on the natural gas consumers and ratepayers, in British Columbia. The mandate of the Utilities Commission is not over that, so it won't necessarily look at the impact of, losing more control over transport of natural gas or the pipelines, because TerraSun is also a pipeline company, which is likely the component that was of most interest to Kinder Morgan. The second step, regulatory process, will be when the takeover will be studied by the Investment Review Division of Industry Canada. And there it might actually become more interesting, because for the sake of Canada's energy security, or because it might be detrimental to the Canadian society and the Canadian government and citizens as a whole, the Investment Review Division could actually stop the deal. And this is something that can be done without infringing NAFTA. So when we look at everything that the U.S. is looking for right now that's being planned in terms of getting access to Canadian energy, we could put a stop to it, or we could significantly delay all the approvals that are required, either for the TerraSun takeover, or approving the Mackenzie Valley pipeline that's supposed to be bringing natural gas from the Beaufort Sea to the U.S., and so on. There are a variety of steps that can be taken, which in normal times with this government would basically be a rubber stamp. But in these circumstances, if we won't retaliate in a meaningful fashion, we could actually be officially hindering the processes of various approvals.
And what are the dangers of having U.S. ownership of energy resources and access to these resources?
Well, we're talking about the U.S. because it's much easier for them to actually purchase, and obviously they are our land neighbors, so it's obviously more... the U.S. have more of an impact in taking control, but I mean, China is becoming really interested in our resources. India will become very interested in our resources, because let's face it, especially in terms of oil, Canada has the second largest proven reserves after Saudi Arabia in the oil sense, and with the increased scarcity and the reaching of peak oil point, which is the point at which production is becoming optimal, so that production will actually decrease in the future at that point, and we're reaching that point right now. The scarcity will make the oil sands very, very attractive. And obviously, you need to control the patches. You need to have possession of some parcels of concessions. But you also need to control the transport, meaning pipelines. So we're seeing deals more and more. Obviously, I just mentioned Petrokazakhstan, which was actually a Canadian company, but dealing with oil in Kazakhstan. But there are other companies that are being targeted. Husky Oil a few years ago was purchased by, as I mentioned, Hong Kong, China company. We have also a company called Deer Creek Energy that was bought by a French company. So more and more there will be takeover offers, and as the prices of oil and gas are increasing, demonstrating once again a scarcity, it will most definitely be increasing in scope and in numbers.
Why are Canadian governments increasingly deregulating or privatizing these utility companies?
Well, there is a strong belief, an ideology, one would say a religion, that everything has to be done through a free market with as little government interference as possible. So, and we've been experiencing that since NAFTA. It's not only the energy sector which is actually subject to that kind of hands-off approach. It's basically all of Canadian industry. And one would say, actually, that Canada hasn't had this industrial strategy for a very long time, since at least it started to get into this free trade agreement mode. Canada's industrial strategy is free trade, and I don't think that the mindset of our people responsible of Canadian industry is very different in the oil and energy sector. What they believe is they will just let the market take over, and the market will do best for everybody's interests, for Canadian interests, and more people are dotting that. Right now, what you're seeing, for example, in the U.S., and you are very often you will hear about the U.S. Energy security strategy, U.S. energy policy. Everybody in the U.S. and in Canada understands that. Which point it's really important for national security to have access to a steady flow of oil, of gas. And in Canada, we don't have an energy policy. The U.S.'s energy policy basically is Canada, and we're more than willing to just be there to ensure U.S. Energy security, but nothing is being done for Canadian energy security, and that's a major problem.
You mentioned that there's still the possibility that the sale of Terrasen Gas could be blocked. What can people do to try to block that sale?
Definitely that they can make themselves heard at the British Columbia Utilities Commission. We have at the council tried to quickly analyze the repercussions, the consequences of transfer of Terrasen assets to the U.S. company. The impact on the rates, per se, which is what the British Columbia Utilities Commission is very hard to define at this point, because Terrasen is the provider of 95% of natural gas, or homes using natural gas. But in terms of what will be the impact on the natural gas users, the regular citizen, it's very hard to define. So it would still be good to be able to express your views to the British Columbia Utilities Commission, but it's also important to actually write, and I would suggest to do it right now, to the Investment Review Division of Industry Canada, where, in our mind, the real decision will be made and where the takeover can be stopped. It might actually be a good thing to actually get in touch with various shareholders of Terrasen. And what's really interesting in that case is that many of our public pension investment boards or public pension plans basically are actually shareholders of Terrasen. Talking about the Canadian Canadian Pension Plan Investment Board, and the BC equivalent has actually some shares, and even the Quebec Caisse de dépôt et placement has shares, and the Ontario Teachers Pension Plan. So if we can actually make sure that the issue and the concerns of the BC public and the Canadian public can be addressed at the board meeting, it might actually have some impact. But what will definitely be important is to write to the BCUC and Industry Canada.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Guy.
My pleasure.
I've been speaking with Guy Caron of the Council of Canadians. More information on this issue can be found on their website, which is canadians.org.